The Mechilta de Rashbi, the end of Parshas Beshalach, writes as follows. Bottom of the first page of the Marmar Komos, Vayomer Kiyadol Keis Ka Milchama Lashem Vigomer Rabbi Shua Omer V'kishayosh Shevakosh Baruch Hu Valkisa Malchusa V'tehim Malachta Ba'os Hashem Milchama Lashem Amalek Rabbi Lazar Vadoi Omer Nishvakosh Baruch Hu B'kisa Yekavit Shalom Imaniach Nin V'nechat Shalom Malik Tachas Kol Hashemayim Shalom Yomru Gamal Zeh Shalom Malik. There won't be anyone left from Amalek. No one will be able to identify an animal as Amalek's animal. Emaniach nin v'nechad l'amalik, there won't be any descendants. Reb Lezer Omer Nishra Malkam Mekisa Yekavit Shalosh Shem Yava Mikal Umos Sheikabluhu. If anyone comes from any nation and expresses an interest in being Megayer, we'll accept them. U'me'amalik u'lebeisa lo yikabluhu. But should a prospective Ger come from Amalek, we will not accept them. Shenamar V'yomer David al Nar Hamagidlo Eimi Zeh Ata. David says to the Nar Hamaleki who claimed that he killed Shaul, where do you come from? Vayomer ben ish ger amalek anochi. Nisker l'david v'asasha mashenemer l'moshe Rabbeinu. Im yava mikol umas sheba olam l'skayir sheikablu mibeis lo yikablu. Miad vayomer la David dam kal v'shacha ki picha ana b'cha. The David Melech remembered this halacha, you're not allowed to be megayer an amaleki. This amaleki claimed he was a ger. So David said, you brought it upon yourself that you identified yourself as such and therefore you deserve to be killed. So says the Mechilta de Rashbi, that apparently there's an Isser to be Megayer, one's not allowed to be Megayer, and Amaleki. So the Achronim were bothered, how does this fit with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadivav, and Mebez, Mnei Ban of Shal Haman, Lamdu Tar B'Mnei Brak? There's a tradition that Haman's descendants learned Tar B'Mnei Brak, presumably meaning at some point they were Megayer, and were Jewish. So there is a girsa that Rav Kasher has in the Torah Shleima of a variant that says instead of Mibnei Banav Shel Haman, it says Mibnei Banav Shel Naaman. So then you don't run into this problem. But the accepted girsa, which we have in more than one place, is Mibnei Banav Shel Haman. So the Chazon Ish, the last page of the Marmar Komos, Evan Ezer, Simon Kuf Mem Vav Osei, writes as follows, the second paragraph. He quotes the Gemara. He suggests, "Afagav de aga gaviyem nichnas b'molchama, nikol makom b'nei banav shelo b'shas molchama mekablin asan." Then maybe there's a difference between shas molchama and hashas molchama. You're not allowed to accept amalekim b'shas molchama, but otherwise you are. V'miu mikan ein lo chiyach de mekablim gerim me'amalek. Even if you have that distinction, you can't really prove from this maisa of an ebana shel Haman that in general you're allowed to accept amalekim as gerim. The ishlamar de bnei banav nisar v'bacherim v'kibulosa. Maybe they're all mixed together. It's true that klap ishmaya we knew that these were Haman's descendants, but they got mixed up with other people in other nations. And the rove were not from Amalek, and therefore, without any hard evidence that these were Amalekim, they went through some kind of geiris. Rav Avadya suggests in his Chazon Avadya and Purim that maybe the Bnei Banav Shel Haman who were Megayer were Amalekim Mitzad Ha'em and not Amalekim Mitzad Ha'av. When it comes to Umas Olam, Yichus follows the father, so maybe these were descendants of Haman's daughters, and not of Haman, and not of Haman's sons, and therefore, if the parents of these Gerim intermarried outside of Amalek, so even if there was Amaleki blood, if it wasn't on the paternal line, that wouldn't be a violation of this Mechilta. It also relates to the question of how to understand Rabbim Bnei Arz Misyadim. So, not necessarily the case that the Rabbim Bnei Arz Misyadim were Amalekim. There are presumably many other nations in the world, of the world around at the time. But there is a parish of the Gaon, which may be corroborated by Tosas. Tosas, Yivamas, Kavdal, and Mebez, says that they were Misgayer Me'asma. They were Misgayer on their own. So the Chachma Sfar said it means that they went to a Beth and Shaliotas. So it wasn't done through the official channels. The Gaon understands that it means that they acted like Jews. They never went through a formal Geirus. They just, in order to fit in, they presented themselves as Jewish. They adopted Jewish practices, but never went through a formal Geirus. And I think the Sfasamit says that's why we have the minhag of dressing up on Purim, just like the Rambim b'nei Arth m'siadim pretended to be Jewish, so we pretend to be other people on Purim. But it's not pashut whether this mechilta, even at face value, that you're not allowed to be megayir amalekim, is really accepted lahalacha. There is a sefer called Ner Lemea, which is written by a Rabbi Yerachmiel Seltzer, which I intended to bring today, but it's in my office in Yeshiva, and I haven't been there for the last few days. So he has 100 chapters, that's why it's called Ner Lemea, on this topic: what was the nature of the Geirus in the time of Haman, and are you allowed to be Megayir Amalekim, and related subtopics. So he quotes from the Chidah. The Chidah points out that the Rambam apparently was not concerned by this Mechilta. Number one, take a look at the Rambam, Yisurei Bia, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin. The Rambam writes, Kol ha'akum kulam kishe yisgayru v'yikabalu v'leyen kol ha'mitzvot shebatorah. Any non-Jew, when he is migayir and accepts upon himself all the mitzvot in the Torah, v'yavadim kishe yishtachru, harein ki Yisrael l'chol davar. Chutz midalad amin v'vat. There are four nations who are not allowed to convert with that restriction. Amon Moav, Mitzrayim v'edom, Amon Moav never, Mitzrayim v'edom, Dor Shlishi. So you see, says the Chidah, that aside from those nations that are explicitly singled out in the Torah with a minia for Geirus, there is no other restriction on being megayir people from other umos ha'olam. So the Rambam apparently was not choshesh for this mechilta and didn't think that there's any restriction on being megayir and amaleki. And even more, the Rambam in the end of Perek Yuches of Hilchos Sanhedrin has the following analysis of the Maisa of David and the Ger Amaleki. So the end of Perek Yuches, Halacha Vav. Rambam writes, V'zeh shaharag Yoshua achan, v'david l'ger amaleki b'odas piyam. Normally speaking, you can't be mechayu someone, and you can't definitely be mechayu someone misa based on their own self-incrimination. So why was it that David was able to kill the ger amaleki based on his own self-incrimination, picha anabacha? Harash aisa. So either that was a one-time situation, a Rav Shah, that wasn't the regular din, but there was a special dispensation. Or David HaMelech had a din of a Melech, and the Melech has certain extra legal powers that go beyond the normal due process. Aval Sanhedrin, Eima Misin, V'lo Malkin, Amoda Bavera. But when it comes to Sanhedrin, they don't have that din of Melech, so they can't convict someone simply based on their own self-incrimination. So you see, says the Chidah, that the Rambam tells you the only reason that David was allowed to kill the Ger Amaleki was because of a special din of Aras Shah. Why don't we say that David could have killed the Amaleki because he was an Amaleki? You're not allowed to be a guy in Amaleki. If the Geirus doesn't work, or is done Shalokadin, then he remains an Amaleki and there's a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Apparently the Rambam didn't assume that. The Rambam assumed that Geirus is fine for Amalekim, and if you're Megayim and Amaleki, then there's no more din of Mechias Amalek. And the only reason that David killed him was because of Harash Shah or Din Melech. The Eimek Bracha has a slightly different analysis of how to understand the relationship between this mechilta and the iser and the din of mechias amalek. So he quotes here, he quotes the mechilta. He says in the second paragraph, "Hine l'chara mashma, degam b'di eved em kiblu geirim mizara amalek, einam nasim geirim." So from that medrash halach we started with, it sounds like geirus on amalekim is in chal. Even if you accept them as a ger, doesn't mean anything. Darei haben ger amaleki shehargo David farnes gayer aviv v'yafal pika and hargo David mitam zeh she'em akabim emger. So assuming that the reason David killed the amaleki was because he was an amaleki, harei de lochal geres, must be that the geres is a chal. וזה תמוה מאוד. דלמה עשינו בכל השעה שהנזכר זה הדין לזר המלך אין גבוס הגרס. Yes, there is such a מחלטה, but aside from that, we never find that din in Shas. ועוד איסה להדיה בגית הנונזיין בני בנו של המה למדתור בני ברק, as we said. ונראה דבד איזה הדין דאים וקבלו מהם גרים אלו אלה מבני המסת עשי של מלכי עשה מלך. No. The reason that you can't be mekabel gerim is not a separate halacha. That's part and parcel of the din of mechias amalek. You have to eradicate amalek. So if you have to eradicate amalek, you obviously can't be megari amalek. Imkain, b'di'aved, im kiblo sam. If you were megari amaleki, vadi davar gerim b'chal agiris, and the gerim is elchal. Ubeben ger amaleki the David sarach lomar shelo hemin lo shenis gairim. He didn't believe him. Kevin she'ay mekabel mem gerim mistamishem bez and lo kiblo sam gair. When they saw harga. Like along the lines of the Chazon Ish said, they didn't know that they were Mimnei Banav Shel Haman. How do you know the Chachila came in Megai? The reason you came in Megai the Chachila is because of the din of Mechias HaMalek. Once you Megai them, then the Geiris is Chal, and it sounds like once the Geiris is Chal, that may on some level be Mafkia, the Chiv of Mechias HaMalek. Klei Chemda discusses this in Parsha Shoftim Osvav. So first, Klei Chemda suggests that maybe the mechanism is once you're Megari and Amaleki, the Geirish is Chal, and Geirish and Megari Kikadon Shanel Adambi, so there's no more Din of Mechias Amalek because he's a new person. But then he goes on to say that, let's go back to Haman. Haman was the Eved of Mordechai. How do we know Haman was the Eved of Mordechai? So that's the Gemara, it's Merumas in the Gemara Megillah, and expanded on in various Midrashim. The Gemara Megillah, Tezvav and Aleph, on the bottom, second to last line, Amr Blazer, Amr Rebbe Chanina, Bishah Shara Hamanus Mordechai Yoshe Bishar Melech, Amr Kolze Einenu Shavali, Kedur Chista, Damr Chista, Zeba Biprizbuli, Bizeba Biprizbuti. What does that mean? Look at Rashi, Zeba Biprizbuli. Mordechai ba'ela b'tainas osher. Mordechai was coming from a perspective of richness. Haman ba'b'tainas oni. Shemachar Hamanus asma l'Mordechai koylem l'chein yamim rabim b'ki kare lechem. That Haman sold himself to Mordechai some time ago for bread. So what is that reference? So one version of the Medrash is in Yalkut Shimoni Tuf Tuf Nun Vav. Says as follows. So once the king sent Mordechai and Haman together on an expedition to conquer some other land. They were each given a stipend. So Haman took the stipend that he got and he used it all up. He had no money left. So he needed to hire other soldiers. He needed to cover expenses for the battle. He had not a penny to his name. Mordechai still had the money that he was given. So Haman requested of Mordechai, please lend me the money that you have. I'm not going to give you the money. I won't lend it to you unless you sell yourself to me as an Eved. So that's what happened. Haman agreed to become the Eved of Mordechai. Mordechai wrote over the loan. And the concluding line is that Haman sold himself to Mordechai for a unit of bread. A slightly different version in the Otzer Midrashim, that he sold himself for 2 loaves of bread, and he wrote the Shtar Mechira on his foot. Okay. So says the Klei Chemda, what do we see from here? Mordechai was an Eved Kanani of... Haman was an Eved Kanani of Mordechai. Presumably, Mordechai followed the Halacha, so what's the din of an Eved Kanani? That Eved Kanani... You are mal and tovel l'shem avdus. He's mesuvah b'mitzvus kisha. And should he ever be mishachar him, so he becomes a full Yisrael. So apparently, Haman had a din of an Eved Kanani. Then the Klei Chemda points out that there's a Mechilta that has a Machlokis Tanoim, whether the din of Timcha Zechar Malik applied to Haman. So what's that Machlokis? He says maybe that Machlokis is the Mitzvah Mechias HaMalik only on the people of Amalek, or is it even on the animals? Now we know that Shaul was criticized for not killing the animals of Amalek, but that might have been Haras Shah. So this seems to be Machlokas Tanaim in the Medrash, whether the Din of Mechias HaMalik applies to animals as well. If it applies to only people and not animals, then it's possible an Eved Kenani in that regard would have a din of an animal. So maybe if Haman was an Eved Kenani, so then he wasn't really Bechlal the Mitzvah of Mechias HaMalik, suggests the Klei Chemda. And if so, then maybe the reason that, this is a little bit interesting, maybe the reason that Mordechai ended up having Haman killed at the end of the day was not Mikra Adin, because Mikra Adin, it wasn't Betoras Mechias HaMalik, because Betoras Mechias HaMalik, if you had a din of an Eved Kenani, there wouldn't be a mitzvah of Mechias HaMalik. Okay. So in that Sefer, Ner Lameya, Siman Yud Gimel, he quotes a Chasam Sofer in the Torah Moshe and Parshas Tetzava, there are various different editions of the Chasam Sofer Latoris. I couldn't find this, but I'm sure it's there. I just couldn't find it when I looked. So the Chasam Sofer apparently said that what's found in the Pasuk? The Pasuk in Megillas Esther that says, Ki gila hamasher yehu yehudi, that everyone wanted to know what's going to happen that Mordechai didn't bow down to Haman. Ki hi gila hamasher yehu yehudi, because he told him that he was Jewish. So Pashup Shalom the Pasuk is that Mordechai told them that he, Mordechai, is Jewish and he wasn't bowing down to Haman. Says the Chazon Sofer, ki gila hamasher yehu yehudi, Mordechai told all the other people tumulting around that Haman's also Jewish, because he was my Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani has a din mitzvah mitzvah gisha. Maybe he's Meshachar at one point, in which case he would be totally Jewish. So, well, what's Haman bothering me that I'm not bowing down to him because I'm Jewish? He's also Jewish. So says the Chasam Sofer. And then the Sefer Ner Lameya says, maybe that's Pshat in the Gemara that says that Haman had 30 sons. Right? Different versions in Chazal, how many sons did Haman have? So one version is he had 30 sons. 10 of them were killed outright, 10 of them were hung, and 10 of them were left. 10 of them were chozer al psachim, that they became poor. So says the Rabbi Seltzer, that maybe Pshat was that the 10 who were left to live were born after their Meshachar Haman. So at that point, he was really Jewish, and then the children that he had afterwards were Jewish, and therefore not subject to Mechias HaMalik. So whatever children Haman had before the Eved Kenani episode, that's subject to Mechias HaMalik. But the children that he had afterwards, not, and therefore those were left to live.
He had a Jewish wife.
I'm sorry?
He had a Jewish wife.
Even if he didn't have a Jewish wife, they were not Amalekim. And then he has another suggestion, the Sefer Ner Lameya, that Mistama, he says, Mordechai probably wasn't Meshachrer Haman on his own, because that's Bittel Mitzvah Zasei Lola Mehem Tavodu, unless he was Meshachrer Mtelein Parsha Zachar, where they didn't have a minion, probably didn't happen. So he wasn't Meshachrer on his own. What happened? It must have been that Haman ran away. And it's Machlokas, but according to one opinion, at least, if an Eved Kenani runs away, and the Bailam and the Yaish, so even without a Get Shechrer, that becomes a de facto Yosei L'Cheiris, and then it's Dino Kisrael. So according to that, Haman ran away. Once he ran away, and Mordechai was Miyash, so then he becomes free, and the full Yisrael Gomer. Yonatan Eibishitz has a piece about this in his Drashos Niyaris Devash, Chelek Aleph Drushit Zayin. He says that saying that Haman was Jewish would answer another problem. Chazal of a tradition that the Suda that Esther made for Achashverosh happened on Pesach. Tesvav Nisan. So we know the din is that you're not allowed to be mazmin a guy to a Sudan Yantiv, Shemayarvi Bishvilo, even if you're already having other Jews at the table. So you can't invite another guy, Shemayarvi Bishvilo, Mechloks in the Gemara, that's what we paskin. So how is it that Esther made a Suda for Achashverosh and Haman? That's not even Shemayarvi Bishvilo, the whole Suda was for Nachrim. So Esther made a Suda on Yantiv for Nachrim. So obviously that's not such a kasha. It wouldn't have bothered us probably. But Yonatan Aibish discusses this. So he said it must be that Haman was really Neved Kanani. So as such, there's no din that you can't, there's no Isser Shema Yarbi Bishvila Ben Neved Kanani. So once Haman, this kashmir I don't fully get, but basically what he says is once you're allowed to invite Haman because he's an Neved Kanani, and you're allowed to even cook for Neved Kanani on Yantiv potentially, so then Achashverosh was Nigrar Acher Haman. Because why aren't you worried about Shema Yarbi Bishvilo for Achashverosh? That he doesn't really address as far as I could tell. But somehow we understand the fact that Haman, that Esther was allowed to invite Achashverosh Haman because he was a Neved Kanani, so that created a hazard to invite Achashverosh as well. And then he says that even there's a one opinion is that it happened in a Tesvav, the other opinion is that it happened in Tesayin. So even if it's Tesayin, there's still Yantur Sheni Chilgoyos, and they would have been bothered by the same potential problem. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokas as to whether an Eved Kanani is Mechuyav in Mikra Megillah. The Siman Tav Reish Pei Tes. Hakol chayavim bekriyasa anashim v'nashim megerim v'yavadim mishachrarim. So an Eved mishachrar is a regular ger. So he's definitely mechuyav in Megillah. What about an Eved Kanani who's not yet mishachrar? So I don't know how many avadim Kananim were running around Radin, but someone wrote an article documenting the existence of Avadim Kananim as late as well into the 19th century in places like Turkey. But I don't think there are too many Avadim Kananim in Poland. Anyway, the Mishmur writes, Mishachrarim, Aval Ein Mishachrarim Peturim, Degri Minashim Linyan Zeh, that an Eved She'ein Mishachrar, a still practicing Eved Kanani, is Pater. Who says that? The Gon. Why? Says the Sharitzian. The Kanlo Shayachatam to Hayibos Onis. That why are women Mechuyav and Mikra Megillah? Afeinu Yibos Onis. Afeinu Yibos Sakana. So the women were Bosa Sakana, but the Avadim Kananim weren't Bosa Sakana. V'yesh Omrim, that feel of Mishachrarim Chayavim. That's the Magen Avraham. So someone suggested, how do you know that Afeinu Hayibos Onis didn't apply to the Avadim Kananim? How do you know that the Avadim Kananim weren't Bechlal Xer of Haman? So he said that, well, if Haman was himself an Eved Kanani, it stands to reason that the Xer that he made, Lahashmin Laharugul Abay, didn't apply to Avadim Kananim, because then he would have gotten him. I mean, in the end, it turned out that way anyway. But so presumably the Xer didn't apply to Avadim Kananim, because Haman was an Eved Kanani. So then he suggests that, but Avadim Kananim are Bechlal the Mitzvah of Shlachmanis. So in theory, you could have been Yotzei the Mitzvah of Shlachmanis, Bimei Mordechai Vester, by giving Shlachmanis to Haman, if he would have still been alive, because he was an Eved Kanani. So I saw this in an article, which I think was a reprint from Otzar Chachma. It looked like it was from some Hebrew newspaper. Like, clearly Tabel Chachma were like a 3-page essay on this topic. Maybe it was from the Yated or one of these supplements from a Hebrew newspaper. Okay, we'll stop here.
Good.